or HMC, or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We must stamp out prejudice and anti-Semitism everywhere it is found.
President Trump paying tribute to the victims of the Holocaust and tribute to Israel in a pre-recorded video that aired at the opening dinner of the World Jewish Congress in New York City last night.
Today we're reminded of this organization's long and heroic history fighting for the Jewish people. Your brave leaders warned the world of the planned atrocities that sought to extinguish an entire people.
At the same time, the Anti-Defamation League is reporting today that anti-Semitic acts appear to be increasing dramatically in the U.S., saying there were more than 1,260 cases of anti-Semitic intimidation and vandalism last year, up more than 25% from 2015. This is USA Radio News.
If your pet needed thousands of dollars in vet care, could you afford it? PetSavingsUSA.com members are covered by discounted pet insurance with the first 2 months free. Plus, save up to 50% at every major retailer and receive hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts. To receive 2 months of free pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings, call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com.
I'm KFC's extra crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
President Trump's 100th day in office is coming up next Saturday. He'll be holding a rally in Pennsylvania to mark it, skipping the White House Correspondents' Dinner to do that. The president also today hosting a rare meeting of members of the United Nations Security Council. And on Wednesday, President Trump is to announce some details of his tax reform plan. But there's also a major concern that's looming over Washington and the rest of the nation, as we hear from Joe Gomez.
Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says they're preparing for a possible government shutdown later this week.
I don't think anybody's trying to get to a shutdown. Shutdown is not a desired end. It's not a tool. It's not something that we want to have.
Mulvaney says on Fox News Sunday the Trump administration wants their priorities funded, and one of those is the border wall.
They voted for it in 2006, so we don't understand why Democrats are now playing politics.
Another violent weekend in Chicago. 7 people killed, 31 others were shot and wounded over the weekend. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I just got to town and I need a presentation printed for a big meeting tomorrow.
Well, Staples has everything you need to print, scan, and fax.
Great. Oh, just got a text. The home office made changes to the presentation.
No problem. You can access your files from a USB, email, or the cloud.
And the meeting isn't tomorrow, now it's today.
Our machines are self-service, so there's no waiting.
And it's not here. Now it's in Ebensburg.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
Print, scan, fax, and copy at Staples, your office away from home.
Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida warning of the consequences if the government shuts down this week. Rubio telling CBS's Face the Nation that such a shutdown could have a destabilizing impact on global affairs and could send the wrong message to places like North Korea. The Republican from Florida saying the last thing the U.S. can afford right now is the appearance that the nation is, quote, only partially functioning.
Roger Ailes did sexually harass me.
That's former Fox News anchor, now CNN anchor, Allison Camerota, leveling new allegations of sexual harassment against former Fox News chief Roger Ailes.
He could be quite charismatic. He could be uproariously funny. He could also be a bit of a bully and mean. And he also was often kind of grossly inappropriate.
Camerota said she was once propositioned by Ailes. Ailes' lawyer completely denies the allegations. Ailes stepping down from the network last year after numerous employees accused him of sexual harassment. And longtime Fox News host Bill O'Reilly was just forced out last week after similar allegations. And the Capitals and Senators heading to the second round of NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs as Washington scored a 2-1 overtime win at Toronto to win its first round series in six games. Ottawa pulling out a 3-2 overtime win at Boston to take that series in six. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather report here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. 57 outside our studios right now. Today cloudy, high in the mid-60s. Chance of showers the evening. Rain likely over after midnight. Tuesday, rain, high in the 50s, and continuing into Tuesday night, low in the lower 50s. Rain likely before 7 a.m. on Wednesday, and slight chance of showers Wednesday night. Highs will be in the 60s. Thursday, sunny, clearing up, high in the 70s. And Friday, another chance of showers again. Looks like rain all week, but clearing up on the weekend. Saturday with the highs maybe hitting the 80s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Chef Bill's Table. Your host is Bill Kinslow here, chef at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. They're on for 26 years serving the community, and we get together on Mondays most of the time to chat about food and celebrations, ideas for techniques and recipes. Let's see, well, Mother's Day, next big food holiday we have here. May is also National Beef Month, or hamburgers, obviously, big choice nowadays, and also barbecue month, so start making some plans. In the Midwest, they call it the start of grilling season. The meat producers all look forward to that. And food holidays this week, the 27th is National Prime Rib Day. The 29th is Shrimp Scampi Day. Scampi in North America, at least, considered more of a cooking method. A little garlic butter with the shrimp, and the scampis are actually Dublin Bay prawns, kind of like a small little lobsterette, if you will. So when we say shrimp scampi, it's almost like saying shrimp. But both those dishes, prime rib, be a great roast for Mother's Day, no matter how you buy it. We'll get into that next week, some ideas for that. And shrimp, I know there's a lot of things to do with shrimp, but sometimes tried and true works very well. So keep those on your horizon there for holidays coming up. I like your fish. Well, the lettuce shortage continues. I guess that perfect storm of one season ending early and the other one getting a little bit delayed because farmers couldn't plant. And normally around this time of year there's a kind of a little gap anyway, but it really got reinforced this year with the weather. And after all, we can't, you know, as much as we like to try to predict weather, it's very tough. The good news is the drought's over in California, so supplies of everything should be plentiful. Of course, Europe's been going through the same thing. Spain and Italy, which are kind of the gardens for the continent there, had similar issues with weather. So production's really been down. Lettuces are hard to find for all you salad lovers out there. And it reminded me of a term called factory farms. Now, what's happened, of course, a bad connotation with that because it implies the feedlots and that concentrated bunches of protein, I guess, and all the problems, the pollution, you know, the things that, even though it's very efficient, it causes some other issues. We're trying to get back to the family farms. I know we source our large cuts of beef, our ribs and our strips from Iowa, and they're a group of, it's a consortium of family farms, and you see a lot, you know, the cattle are allowed to run around and grass feed. It's just that final push there on the feedlots that really gets, well, a little upsetting sometimes. And, of course, domesticating product has helped civilization through the years. When we were hunters and gatherers, we had to move around with our food supply. Housing was temporary. You pitched a tent or, you know, built something wherever your food supply was, and then when the food supply went away, you simply moved on. And even with without refrigeration, livestock just became kind of a roving pantry, if you will. It you know, your goats or sheep, whatever you were raising, they traveled with you, and you got your milk every day. You didn't really eat the animals. It kept kept them moving with you. And then once we were able to domesticate crops, we could stay in one place, build more permanent housing, and next on the list, of course, we domesticated livestock instead of having to go out and hunt and depend on being predators, if you will. We were able to raise livestock for food, eggs from chickens. We still had our milk. You know, we started eating more proteins, so we didn't have to go out and fend for ourselves in the wild. And then next on the list, of course, aquaculture really taken off. A lot of the fish now we consume is, we call farm-raised. I call it cultivated. Our shellfish, clams, oysters, the oyster industries have really come back with a nice resurgence here as we find, you know, we're cleaning up our waters, which is a good thing. And we're able to control the environment, or at least raise our seafood in an environment that's friendly and hopefully sustainable. Early fish farms, of course, wasted a lot of water. You know, there was pollutants. You know, there wasn't much regulation. Now the with, you know, consumer watchdogs and agencies that, you know, this protects the consumer but also keeps people doing the right thing for the future. And when you think about it, well, I don't care if you're in farming vegetables or livestock or fish. As a farmer, your goal is to keep it sustainable. Otherwise, you don't have a job tomorrow. You don't have anything that you can do. So it makes sense just to be good stewards and make sure we're in it for the long haul. So farmed fish, seafood, come up a long way. A lot of varieties out there that we're able, instead of having to go out and overfish the oceans, we're able to raise some. And, of course, the last thing, the factory farm that actually probably has a better connotation is with the produce now. And they're actually literally old factories or warehouses, and they're turning them into vertical farms, mainly for greens and herbs, delicate things. A lot of it's hydroponic, but wastes a lot less water and does use some energy. I'll own up to that. You need grow lights if you're indoors. But you don't need pesticides, you don't need herbicides, because either growing on hydroponically, you're much faster because you can time the amount of light and sunlight. So there's a lot of, and I'm not saying it's less expensive, but it's actually putting some of these things closer to where the supply is being consumed, which are cities. So and thought was, well, the ultimate, I mean, think of mushrooms. Back, you know, when I was young, mushrooms, you know, they were canned, who knows, a lot of them were probably imported. But the old, the mines in Pennsylvania, that environment, you know, there's a good after use. Of course, you know, a lot of stuff was stripped out of the earth, but now the mushroom farms can live in these caves, if you will, where they grow very well. And again, controlled environment, controlled nutrition, everything is sanitary. And mushrooms, even formerly varieties that were not able to be cultivated, are being cultivated, even up to truffles. So we're going to break at the quarter hour for a couple of messages, but I thought of some ideas today using farmed food, farmed trout, and mushrooms, and then some other thoughts that might go along with that. But let's not turn our backs on something that, you know, again, may have some issues, but we can always solve those. But the ideas are good. Chef Bill's Table.
Something that you think is going to last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the yeast?
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you.
All right, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, and we're looking at some farmed food or factory farm, mine, mine-grown, farm-raised food, mushrooms, right? Mushrooms. So as a youngster, I think we find the texture a little bit odd. I think young people, it wasn't until I started working in restaurants that I really started to like mushrooms, because we always had mushrooms around. Always had them ready as a side dish, and you start, all right, curiosity. There, all these people are eating these things, and what I did, you know, of course, I always felt that mushrooms added a little bit of upscale touch to food, whether serving them sautéed with a steak or making a sauce. I just thought if you added mushrooms, or, and now, of course, with all the varieties out there, you can really upscale. Really, for me, kind of stretches out the flavor of the meat. Very savory. We talk about the umami. I've had, you know, simple mushrooms. Even we're at a tapas place one time, and they were shiitake mushroom caps with a little bit of some kind of soy butter. Very simply grilled. Texture, we offer, of course, grilled portobello as a salad topper, which, you know, people, if you want something, just, you know, you're not in the mood for meat, but something that kind of tastes like meat, the portobello is the way to go. We've other places I've done where you actually bread them up like a big chicken parmesan, call it a mushroom steak, and serve it that way. But the mushrooms, way beyond now the just the cultivated white mushrooms, although, truthfully, I mean, they're still very versatile and still a real staple in a lot of our cooking. But mushrooms, nice because they can, of all the forms they come in, obviously we can get them fresh. There are still canned mushrooms out there. If you, I think the only thing would, sometimes some of the little Chinese mushrooms, those varieties are imports that might be okay canned, but dried mushrooms, we use them in our mushroom risotto. We get the dried porcinis and rehydrate them, and that makes kind of a broth to finish the risotto with, and it reinforces the flavor of the white cultivated mushrooms. And this is a good idea, again, buying fancy mushrooms, exotic mushrooms, of course, can run into some money. But if you like mushrooms, let's say you were doing a stuffed mushroom caps, classic appetizer. We've done large ones. If you take a portobello and scrape out the gills, you can put a nice crab stuffing and really make it a nice main dish. But stuffed mushrooms, whether just with the ground up stems or a little sausage, a little ham, seafood, anything you want can go in there. So what we like to do is, when we make that stuffing, is invest in a little bit of dried mushroom, not even an ounce. You don't need that much. And steep them in hot water. Makes like a nice little tea, which you strain it and save that if you're not using it right away. And then when they're rehydrated, mince them up finely, and you'll get that porcini flavor spread around through your stuffing. And then you're going to chop the stems to help with the stuffing, put it back in. We always like, besides the breadcrumbs, we like to put a little ricotta cheese in there to lighten it up. And when you're making stuffed mushrooms, I like to blanch, I call it blanching the mushroom caps first. And we do it in a steamer, just a couple of minutes. You don't want to cook them too much, but what happens, of course, when you stuff the mushrooms and bake them, they shrink. This, by blanching them and chilling them, it cuts down the cooking time a little bit, and then you really know what size you're going to end up with, because they do, of course, they're 90% water, so they lose a lot in that cooking process. But this way you have a stuffed mushroom with that little bit of porcini flavor in the stuffing. Really gives it a good, nice, intense mushroom flavor.
What have I done? When will all my hopes arise?
So it was, so looking at the mushrooms, and the farm-raised trout, I kind of took me back to a dish that we used to do in Italian restaurants, trout Savoia, classic from the Piedmont region. And, of course, Piedmont known for the white truffles and mushrooms, of course, in the northern Italy there. You're right near France and Switzerland, so a lot of their cuisine you may, I guess, you know, way back used to call that continental cuisine or northern Italian, meant like you didn't have tomato sauce. And, of course, we know that there's much more to all the regions of Italy than just that, so they kind of don't use that term anymore. But the Piedmont trout would be a nice fish that would be used there. Of course, I've done this dish with salmon quite a bit. When you're looking for trout, the farm-raised, of course, is what you're going to get. Idaho, major producer. I used to get some out of Pennsylvania years ago. It was called Trout Express. And you'd have to order a couple days before, and then it would harvest. Stuff came in smacking fresh. It was a red meat trout, so a little beta carotene got in the diet there, and to, you know, give it that little blush color. Very, very beautiful fish, very tasty. Arctic char, kind of another aquaculture fish that could be used with these kind of things. Very mild flavor, although the char does have the kind of the salmon, kind of looks like a small salmon trout. You know, there's steelhead trout, there's ocean trout, but this fresh farm-raised trout, what happened was, of course, the lakes with, you know, pollutants and overfishing, when we were kids, you know, you go out and try to catch trout, and there's still many places where you can go. The hatcheries, you can go and try to get a trout. I know one restaurant, it was in Lake Placid, you know, a long time ago. My mentor, old Trader Al, he had worked there. And they had a trout pond, and the guests could go out and have somebody, either, you know, a server or a kitchen worker, or they could do it themselves. They could net the live trout, and then the fish was taken to the kitchen and then prepared to order. It was kind of a neat twist on a resort-type restaurant. I know when I worked, first hotel I worked in on Upper Saranac, we would always offer to the guests, if they had gone fishing in the morning, if they brought fish in, we would clean it and prepare it for them for breakfast for no extra charge. It was one of those little, you know, guest amenities, guest perks there that, you know, you go out of your way for your people that are patronizing you. So the trout Savoy is very simple, not that many ingredients. We're calling for some regular mushrooms, or you could use a mix, about a half pound of mushrooms. This would be for four trout. Nice thing about trout is you can buy them whole with the bones in, which are very good, or you can get boneless with the head on. You can get fillets. You can get a butterfly there's no fins or anything, very cleaned. This one, I think the head on is good for appearance, but if kind of makes you feel uncomfortable, get butterfly-flied fillets. We'll need a little bit of lemon juice, about three-quarter of a cup of sliced scallions. Use the white and the green. And then some fresh white breadcrumbs. We have our oven at 425, and you need a baking pan. And we're going to take a little seasoned flour and lightly flour the trout. And you need a 12-inch skillet. Now, to cook these, we're not going to open them up. We're going to leave them folded so they still look like the original fish and brown each side. You can do the fillets butterflied open, but you're only going to probably be able to do one at a time in the pan. So we would do these folded because the meat inside is going to be a lot more tender. And you just lightly brown the trout, set it aside. What you'll need is these sliced mushrooms in a little bit of butter. Cook them about halfway. Add a teaspoon of lemon juice. The lemon juice keeps the mushrooms from turning too dark right away. It keeps them nice and light. So you lay the mushrooms in the baking dish, and the trout go on top of the mushrooms, and then quickly saute the sliced scallion in another tablespoon of butter. Sprinkle the scallion over top, and then your fresh breadcrumbs, again, a little butter. And you could use olive oil instead of butter if you like. You'll saute the breadcrumbs and sprinkle those on top. And there's no wine, there's no other additions to this. It's just plain, simple fish with some mushrooms and scallions. You'll finish the fish in the 425-degree oven, so the breadcrumbs kind of brown on top there. And that's it. Now, a little variation of that. I've done it with salmon, where I bake the salmon on the mushrooms. Another little twist we would put on it is that we would saute the mushrooms and scallions together, a little garlic, a little basil, and actually add some toasted pine nuts or walnuts to that, and end up with still a favorite buffet dish at the restaurant. I think Giovanna's Plainfield, where I worked, I think it's still on the menu there, salmon Savoia. But with the trout, they say if you don't like fish, you'll love trout. Very, very mild in flavor and very good for you. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll explore some other things using our, a couple of our farm products. And, with Piedmont, I mean, it kind of took me back. So we'll offer you a couple of other ideas from the Piedmont region using mushrooms and some other products. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
America's ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, with a new warning to North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, at confirmation that a third U.S. citizen is now being held by North Korea.
The United States is not looking for a fight, so don't give us a reason to have one.
Haley speaks on NBC's Today Show. Here's more from Sharon Reed.
Haley warns military action is possible if the leader of North Korea gives the U.S. reason to do it.
If you see him attack a military base, if you see some sort of intercontinental ballistic missile, then obviously we're going to do that.
Chinese state media reports that President Xi Jinping told President Trump to show restraint during a phone call yesterday, saying his country wants all sides to avoid making tensions worse.
Members of Congress returning to Capitol Hill at this hour after a two-week break at the top of their to-do list, trying to avoid a government shutdown on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Guys, all day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
Table here at Chef Bill's Table at 100andchamberradio.com. So the cooking Piedmont, right? Bolito Misto, lots of good things up there. As I said before, truffles, the white truffles, highly prized, flavorful, native to the area. I have to, truffle hounds, got to ferret them out from underneath the, I think, oak trees, some kind of special oak tree. Truffles need to have a host. They need to exist with something else. They don't have chlorophyll, so they need to get their chlorophyll from something else. And, of course, the great cheese of Piedmont, Fontina, even though they would still use some Parmesan Reggiano, you know, take a little, actually use the cheese from outside their area because it's so good, right? But the Fontina, very nice melting cheese. We would use it on our couple of chicken dishes, our house chicken, the Italian restaurant. It was sautéed chicken breast and mushrooms and a little brandy and white wine and melt Fontina on top. And the Fontina melts a little easier than, say, Swiss or provolone. That's one of the reasons we like it, besides having a little bit more flavor. It very good melting capability. And Italian Fontina, very expensive. It's produced in other countries. You can get it, you know, a little bit less money, but really it is, you know, if you're going for, if you're going with, especially if you're having truffles, you're going to want to use very good cheese also. But anyway, there's a dish in the Piedmont called fonduta, which sounds like fondue, right? It's kind of a cousin of the Swiss cheese dish. But the Italian preparation is a little bit different, in a couple of ways. Of course, the Swiss fondue, you've got a little bit of Kirschwasser in there, a little wine, and that kind of helps slow down the melting process of the cheese, besides adding flavor. Well, the Italian version does not have any wine or liqueur in it. A little bit richer. What you'll have is a pound of Fontina. You cut it into small pieces. And you'll need a teaspoon of cornstarch dissolved in a cup of milk. And this way, there is a little starch in Swiss fondue. So you're going to make that little kind of a very, very light slurry. You need a little quarter teaspoon of salt, an eighth teaspoon of white pepper. Have to have three egg yolks set aside in a bowl. And then if you want to garnish this with truffle, of course, go ahead. But nice mushrooms would be nice, and also some buttered toast. Not just dry bread cubes. You actually want to make good toast and butter it and cut the toast into triangles. Or if you want to use a French loaf, you have nice crostinis. So in the pot, you're going to have the cheese and the milk and the seasonings, not the yolks. Just melt that slowly. And once this is melted, you'll add some of the hot cheese and milk mixture to the three egg yolks. You want to whisk those egg yolks first and add a little bit of that hot mixture. That's what we call tempering the egg yolks. If you just add the yolks right to the hot mixture, it's going to curdle them. You have scrambled eggs floating around in there, and it's not good. So a little bit of the cheese mixture into the yolks, whisk it till it's dissolved, and then add the yolks back in, kind of like making a pudding, right? And you don't want this to boil, though, where the Swiss fondue is simmering, and, of course, with the wine, it's a lower boiling point, so it doesn't curdle the cheese. With this, you're just going to mix in the yolks till it thickens up a little bit. You don't want it to boil. And then you have shaved truffle on top, or if you do want to do some thinly sliced mushrooms, it would be nice. And then your toast, and you have a nice Italian-style fondue made with Fontina. Another version, same similar ingredients, I guess, especially in this time of not too many salad greens. Nice antipasto, something that would be served before the pasta, would be a salad. Now, in the Piedmont, of course, there is a Fontina salad with some peppers, red peppers, or yellow peppers, rather. I'm sorry, use nice sweet yellow peppers. Some green olives, and like a mustard cream. My version, I like, well, I used to use Swiss with it, but the sliced mushroom and Swiss cheese salad, and you could use Fontina for this. And what you need is thinly sliced, really fresh, nice mushrooms. You could use a variety of them if you like. And some Swiss cheese or Fontina cut into You could do shavings with it if you like, nice shards, using a peeler or some julienne's, nice thin sticks. And you have the cheese and the mushrooms, and all you really need is olive oil and lemon and a little bit of salt and pepper. Fresh cracked pepper over there would be great. And mix it together right before you're going to serve it. And surprisingly nice change from having maybe a salad. Or, if you wanted to, turn it into a salad. Just put a few fresh spinach leaves down and have a nice salad that's not too heavy on the lettuce, but good old nice protein salad, right? Mushroom and fontina. I need something I can't be proud of. I'm out of love, bad love. Now the same combination again. I'm going to do a. I've got a wheel of fontina at the restaurant. I want to do a pizza. Again, fontina and nice mixed medley of wild mushrooms, or call them fancy mushrooms. When you're shopping for them, the creminis are just the portobello before they're grown up. Then you have baby portobellos. Portobellos are good, nice and meaty, but there's other varieties out there. And a handy way to get them is really sometimes there's a medley of mushrooms all sliced up. So you get some of the exotic, and of course they throw a few regular ones in there, I guess, to spread the cost out. But really you're getting a nice assortment of flavors and textures. I think that's the main thing you look for if you like mushrooms and you have a mixture of them. You want those different, some would be a little bit more chewy, some are more earthy. But if you were making a pizza with the mushrooms, and of course here's where you could kind of just kiss it with a little truffle oil at the end if you want to use something exotic. But I would have the, and it could be on a flatbread also if you like. If you don't want to make a fresh pizza, or you don't have pizza dough, or if you don't have time, I would do a quick saute with the mushrooms so they're seasoned, not cooked all the way because you are going to bake them again. This way you get some of the water out of them and you make sure they're cooked enough. And instead of just putting the cheese on the pizza dough, I would say you make a duxelle, one of the great things to have in your repertoire that use mushrooms, and actually good way to use up pieces, or even some that, you know, oh, what am I going to do with these? I don't want to throw them out. Well, when you make a duxelle, you finely chop the mushrooms in the food processor. You have to pulse it, and you're making almost like a paste out of it, a little bit of shallot. And we saute these in some oil. And, of course, the liquid comes out right away. Then you saute them slowly till they're dried out. And I do put a little bit of lemon and seasoning in up front. I like the lemon so it doesn't get too dark. So once the mushroom liquid is evaporated, I hit it with a little white wine and let that evaporate. And then if you like, a little touch of heavy cream, and that gets absorbed in there. Now you've got this paste that you can use to, as a base for stuffings. You could make a soup out of it, about that concentrated mushroom flavor. So if I was going to do this flatbread or pizza, I would make this duxelle and keep it a little bit loose, and I would spread the duxelle on the pizza first and then put the fontina cheese and then the mixed sautéed mushrooms and bake it. Any herb that you like, thyme does very well with mushrooms, a little fresh thyme if you like. Garlic could go on there if you like, roasted garlic. Of course, plenty of fresh parsley. Bake your flatbread or your pizza and then drizzle it at least with some nice extra virgin olive oil, if not your truffle oil or another flavored oil if you like. But that would make, to me, a nice, intensely flavored mushroom pizza or flatbread. Oh, you killed me. Take a look at yourself. After all, what's better than mushrooms on toast, right? I think the Times had a little recipe a couple of weeks ago, kind of reminded me, you know, different versions that we've done with a medley of mushrooms and maybe a little Madeira and heavy cream. Used to sell an appetizer like that. Make a nice raft of some crostinis or some nice toasted coarse grain bread, and just simply put the mushrooms right on top, and of course to gild the lily, like we're doing with a lot of the things now, from burgers to, I saw a pork sandwich the other day with that sunny side up egg going on top. One of the best ways to power up some nutrition, and of course a sunny side egg, you've got the yolk that kind of helps make a sauce for whatever you're eating. So don't be afraid. If you think something needs a little more oomph, just put that sunny side egg out, or a soft poached egg. Add it to a salad, add it to anything. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and see if we can wind down our farm food here at the Chef Bill's table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Table here at Chef Bill's Table at HuntingChamberRadio.com. So what it, trout. All right, let's do a couple of ideas here. The trout savoy is a nice, elegant, but simple dish. If you like pan-fried trout, of course, and that's if you were out fishing and you were cooking out in the woods there, that's probably what you'd do is just have a little seasoned flour. And probably for your cooking oil, you'd use bacon or bacon fat. And we used to actually serve, we used to serve that with even any kind of baked fish, a little bit of chopped bacon on top and a little shallot butter if you like. But trout, even wrapped in bacon, would be good. But trout just begs to be stuffed, right? You've got a whole fish there with no bones in it, and you want to put something back in there. Now, a classic one, a shrimp stuffing, which, again, fairly simple to make. We used to do in this one hotel I worked at. And you used a small shrimp or chopped shrimp, and you have a little butter. You'll need fresh bread crumbs, not dried, and actually small cubes would be even better. Again, this is fairly simple stuffing. A little bit of sherry and your salt and pepper. Parsley. If you want a little bit of garlic and shallot in there, that's all the better. So what we do is melt butter, and or you could use a combination of butter and oil, and saute the shrimp with your garlic and or shallots or scallions, and add your herbs, and then add the sherry, and then toss this with the fresh bread cubes, just like if you're making a stuffing for your turkey or anything else. But the fresh bread, of course, is going to absorb right away the liquid. You have that little bit of liquid left from the shrimp. You have the wine and the butter. And toss that till it's, you know, they're fairly evenly coated. And you don't want to cook the shrimp too long because you're going to bake it again. But you want the stuffing, you know, the shrimp should be fairly cooked because you don't want to risk having raw shrimp in the middle of the trout. Let the stuffing cool off and simply encase the, stuff the cavity of the trout with the stuffing and then bake the fish in the oven. It'd probably do a nice combination of having the shrimp stuffed trout and then bake the trout on a nice bed of mushrooms like you did with the Savoia, and you'll have something, you know, it kicks the trout up a little bit, adds a little bit. You're using an expensive ingredient, shrimp, but more for the flavor, and adds a little bit, a little extra to that dish. One of the more unique ones I had one time was a place called Trout Rockefeller, and the trout was stuffed with a spinach mixture with some poached oysters in there. And I like oysters anyway, so for me it worked. I don't know if it worked for everybody, but having a spinach stuffing inside a trout, also a good idea if you want to get some of your vegetable in there. And the oysters, to me, you know, again, added a nice touch. You've got kind of the, you know, the salty oysters and the fresh taste of the trout. Good combination. Now, smoked trout, which I don't know, people, you know, we think of smoked salmon. Smoked trout's delicious, and although it doesn't slice nicely like smoked salmon, very nice serve. Either you could serve one fillet as a portion, or cut it into some smaller pieces, but takes very well to horseradish cream, just like smoked salmon would. It's a nice garnish for a salad. One of my favorite ways with smoked trout is to make a chilled sauerkraut, champagne sauerkraut. So you have to take your sauerkraut, cook it with a little bit of onion, some either Chardonnay, or if you have leftover champagne, it's great, but Chardonnay works fine, or Riesling, a nice white wine. And you're braising the sauerkraut to kind of, you know, you rinse it, you want to get all that that salt out of it and some of the acid. serving this chilled as a base for the smoked trout with a little bit of horseradish cream on the side. To me, you know, it works, and it sounds weird to eat chilled sauerkraut, but it really does work. Salmon or trout or anything like that with cabbage, the classic combination. What else can we do with trout here? Let's see. Stuffing, wrapped in bacon, grilling. And firing up the grill. Now, there's grill grates that are good for fish so they don't stick or fall through. But really with the skin on the trout, and the skin on the trout's edible, by the way. Don't throw that out, especially if you're sauteing it or if you're grilling it. It gets nice and crispy. When we first opened at Jake's, we had grilled trout. And we would butterfly it. Get the butterfly fillets, and you want to oil the grill fairly well, season the trout, and put it skin side down first, let that skin char a little bit, and then you could sprinkle a little Cajun spice or anything you want really on the meat part. Turn it over just briefly because it will cook almost all the way through. You just have to cook it briefly on the other side. Nice thing about it with the skin, of course, it's going to stay together on the grill, and after that, a little compound butter on top. It's a great healthy meal, and very quick too. The trout, it only takes a couple of minutes to cook. They're not that thick, and being very lean, they cook very, very quickly. Very versatile, also. So up and coming. So have fun with trout. Something sometimes a fish like that has been around for so long as a supermarket staple that sometimes we forget about it. But I think with spring, you want things a little bit lighter. I think the trout would be, you know, a good meal to work with. And then, of course, with your mushrooms, always available. Don't really have to worry too much about the seasonality, but you could get creative with that. And then don't forget prime rib and shrimp scampi coming for Mother's Day. I think, well, we used a little bit of shrimp in that trout stuffing, so it wouldn't be a bad idea. Have trout and make a little garlic shrimp stuffing for it. Not a bad idea. We've got coming down to the end of the hour here. Let's see. Last thing with mushrooms. You can make a nice mushroom soup very quickly. One of our favorites at Jake's, especially on the holidays. You know, you make an onion soup, you saute the onions with the wine and add the broth. What we do with mushrooms and a little bit of garlic, not much, but you want some onion or shallot. And we do use the sherry. Now, you could use a broth made from dried mushrooms. You could use a chicken broth. We actually use a mushroom base to keep it vegetarian. But you start with good olive oil, a little bit of parsley and oregano. Very quick soup. You could use, we use portobellos and regular mushrooms. You could vary the mushrooms in there. But instead of having a cream of mushroom soup, just try it, a nice light soup, especially before dinner. You don't want something too heavy, but a sherry mushroom instead of onion is a lot quicker to cook and very tasty. We're going to sign off now, getting to the hour. We'll be back next week, hopefully get some Mother's Day ideas there, maybe, you know, for a dinner or a brunch, and keep it going. Have fun cooking. Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
America's ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, with a new warning to North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, at confirmation that a third U.S. citizen is now being held by North Korea.
The United States is not looking for a fight, so don't give us a reason to have one.
Haley speaks on NBC's Today Show. Here's more from Sharon Reed.
Haley warns military action is possible if the leader of North Korea gives the U.S. reason to do it.
If you see him attack a military base, if you see some sort of intercontinental ballistic missile, then obviously we're going to do that.
Chinese state media reports that President Xi Jinping told President Trump to show restraint during a phone call yesterday,